The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. Today, we're going to be talking about preventing and responding to child-lead poisoning. We have two very special guests from Health Alliance Hospital. We have Dr. Shankar Kura. He is Chief Medical Officer at Health Alliance. And we also have Donna Greenfield, who is a health education coordinator here at Ulster County Department of Health. And she's really the project lead, the program lead on our child-lead poisoning prevention program. So Dr. Kura and Donna, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's nice to have you. So Dr. Kura, can we begin with the basics of telling our listeners what child-lead poisoning is, how it manifests, and how it impacts a child's health?
Yes, Vince, thank you. Great question. Lead poisoning, that's the common lay term that we use, but in our medical field, we call it lead toxicity. It's a very common environmental illness in children. It's, in fact, the most common one in the United States for children, and something that is entirely preventable. And, it doesn't usually occur as a single event. It can when a child accidentally absorbs or, swallows something that has lead, but usually it's a result of a chronic exposure to low levels, usually in the home setting where there is older homes pre-1978 with lead paint and chips coming off and gathering either as dust or, children, especially less than 3 years of age, are highly vulnerable because they tend to, explore with their hands and their mouth, and it gets on toys that they then put in their mouths, and that can lead to, over time, accumulations of lead. Now, there is no safe level of lead. All levels of lead, even the minor amounts, can be harmful. And the way it manifests itself, especially in this kind of a low chronic developing poisoning with lead, is children don't usually present with any symptoms. But what it does do is it causes permanent harm to their developing brain. And in children less than 3 years are most vulnerable because their brain is developing and everything, their entire body is growing at a rapid pace. And what lead does is causes all kinds of future behavioral issues, ability to learn issues, temperament issues, irritability, and in the long term can also cause some antisocial types of behaviors in children. And the reason this is important because, as you can imagine, it prevents them from living up to their full potential. Now, it can also affect pretty much any organ in the body. But the brain is the one that is the most rapidly developing at the time, and unfortunately has the most permanent long-term effects. But it can affect pretty much anything from the liver, lung, kidneys, all of those.
And doctor, how can parents know if their children may have been exposed to lead? Are there routine tests available? How and where do those happen? And what are the various concentration levels that raise the red flags?
Yeah, every child should be screened at age one and again at age two. So 12 months and 24 months, that's a given. It's covered by Medicaid, covered by pretty much every insurance. And this sets, at least regardless of the risk factors, every child has to be screened because unfortunately, lead is ubiquitous in the environment and some areas more so. Especially in older homes, around areas that formerly had mining or smelting activities and et cetera. But that's one way. And the way it's done is a simple pinprick type blood test. And if that shows high levels, usually if it is greater than 5 micrograms per deciliter, and that's how we measure it. And if you, to put it in a more lay terms to understand, that's less than 5 parts per billion. And that's a quicker way of understanding it. So anytime it is, if it is less than 5, it's not as alarming, but anything over 5 requires a confirmation with a blood drawn from the vein. So usually in the arm, we puncture the vein and draw the blood and confirm and get a more accurate testing. That's how we screen for this. Every child should be. And if that is greater than 5 micrograms per deciliter or 5 parts per billion of lead in that sample and it's confirmed, then we have certain parameters based on which we initiate treatments. So once it's greater than 5, the first thing we do is do an environmental survey. So we have someone go to the home and kind of understand where this toxicity is coming from, and then hopefully mitigate that. The prevention is the best cure for all of this preventable condition. If it is in a high range, by that I mean greater than 45 micrograms per deciliter or 45 parts per billion, in those instances, what we do is then initiate treatment. And if it is greater than 70 micrograms, that's a true emergency. So 70 parts per billion is a true emergency. That child will immediately be hospitalized and we do treatment. And I can explain the treatment in detail if you wish.
Sure. Yeah, without getting too technical, if you could summarize some of the treatment protocols, that would be great.
Yeah. So unless it's greater than 45 micrograms per deciliter, we don't offer treatments. And the reason is when multiple studies have shown that when you treat below that, it does not change the developmental, damage that's already occurred. And these treatments are not benign in themselves and come with other risks attached to them. So once we determine they're for treatment, which would mean the child's blood levels of lead are greater than 45 micrograms per deciliter or 45 parts per billion, we then administer what are called chelating agents. So these are agents that'll absorb the lead from the bloodstream, and it can be done in one of two ways. One is an oral pill, and in the pill form, it's called Succimar. That's the pill that we give. It comes as a capsule that can be either swallowed whole or just broken up and opened up, and the little tiny spheres scattered over food or drink. That's one way. The other way is to give it either, there's another medication, not this one, that we give either an injection through the muscle or intravenously. And so there's treatments, and these effectively bind the lead and then sequester it and lower them.
Are there any other things that parents can do in terms of diet or other measures or any ways to work more closely with their child's pediatrician to address it?
Absolutely. I think the first thing I want to emphasize over and over again is prevention. So even no matter what the level of the lead, is to immediately identify, recognize what are the environmental contributing factors that are leading to exposure to this lead, chronic exposure to this lead. And so that would mean making sure that this is not an older home. Usually 78 or pre-78, especially those between built between 1940s and 50s, but anything up to 1978. And then make sure that those are mitigated. The other thing that they can do from a diet standpoint is what has been shown to really help is a diet that is rich in calcium, iron, and vitamin C. And so those are usually most of the nuts, fruits, green leafy vegetables, sweet potatoes, of course, dairy. But these kind of help in those situations with the lead.
This segues beautifully into what Donna is going to be talking to us about, which are the environmental factors in the home, because we have a pretty extensive program designed to inspect homes remediate, and so on. And we really want to hear about that. And Doctor, your background that you just provided is really excellent. Thank you so much. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs, life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
I'm Amy Grant, and I want to talk to you from my heart about the heart. There was nothing about my life that said, you have a ticking time bomb in your chest. But I did. I wound up in the office of a cardiologist because I was there with my husband. And at the tail end of that, the cardiologist looked at me and said, I want to see you. No one was more surprised than I was to learn I was living with a rare heart condition. He said, Amy, this condition, you'll be fine, and then catastrophic. A few months later, I had open heart surgery that saved my life. And I owe it to the research and life-saving medical breakthroughs developed by the American Heart Association. I'm grateful for the American Heart Association. Their research gave me more time to do the things I love with the people I love. So listen to your heart. I'm here today because I did. Learn more at helpheart.org.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. And today we're discussing preventing and responding to child lead poisoning. Our two guests are Dr. Shankar Kura. He is Chief Medical Officer at Health Alliance Hospital. And we have Donna Greenfield, who is a Health Education Coordinator here at the Department of Health. And she is the program lead on our child lead poisoning prevention program, which you're going to hear all about. So Donna, Dr. Kura provided a really nice background around what child lead poisoning is, how it impacts children's health, how to test for it, what the treatment protocols are. And then he also talked about one of the key things being prevention in the home and where lead can show up and where children can ingest it. So talk to us a little bit about, give us a background on the child lead poisoning prevention program, which is really designed to address those things.
Sure. Thank you. So our childhood lead poisoning prevention program has basically two legs. One is people calling in, or sometimes we get doctor referrals or agency referrals that their child has not had an elevated blood lead level, but they're concerned about their home. And so those are our primary prevention inspections. And the goal is to go out before a child has been exposed and has an elevation. So those inspections are currently available in the 12401 area code, zip code, which is Kingston and a few little towns around, and also in Ellenville. So at the moment, that's where that is the sole target area of that. And that just has to do with the constraints of our grant and zip codes and density of elevations. The other program, if a child has a 5 blood lead level or higher, we can go anywhere in Ulster County. And that's a more comprehensive investigation. Either way, when we go out to the home, we bring cleaning supplies, wet cleaning supplies specifically, because wet cleaning is a great interim measure to reduce exposure in the home. Many times, it's typically lead dust that is the biggest culprit. And of course, you know, if there's deteriorated paint that has, you know, deteriorated paint chips, yes, of course, a child can ingest that or something. But really, it's that insidious chronic exposure that the doctor spoke about. And lead dust is usually the culprit. Really, windows, old lead painted windows and doors create a lot of problems because of just daily use of those components creates a fine dust. So just opening and closing the window or the door creates your rubbing friction surfaces, and that creates a fine dust. And that dust just mixes with the house dust. It's completely, you know, you can't see it with the naked eye. So wet cleaning is super important, wiping down horizontal surfaces, mopping. We actually bring Swiffers, wet jet Swiffers, because, or a similar product, it doesn't have to be that brand, but something that you can clean and then throw out. So the where you can clean and throw out. And also when you're wiping down windowsills or other horizontal surfaces, you want a wet wipe, whether it's a paper towel or a wipe, and throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
Get Donna, it out of the environment.
Donna, does the fact that the program is confined, it's not actually totally confined, but it concentrated on Kingston and Ellenville, have to do with the fact that there are more homes in those two communities built before 1978?
You know, it has to do with population density as well. There's plenty mm-hmm. of homes throughout Ulster County. So yes, I guess that to answer your question simply, it's yes, because there are cities and there's more population density.
Mm-hmm. So walk us through, if you would, you arrive at a home that needs inspecting. Walk us through what you already described, some of the things you look for, but what happens next? How do you test? How do you, what are you looking for? Walk us through that if you would.
Of course. We have a machine called an XRF analyzer, and this machine, we place it against painted surfaces. We're looking really at the older components in the home. It's going to be the original components. Lead is typically found baseboards, window and door trim, the window, all the window components, the window casings, any kind of original trim. So we place it against those painted surfaces, and it reads through all the layers of paint to the building material. So if there's any layer of leaded paint in there, it's going to identify it. Now, really important distinction. You could have, I could place that XRF gun against a painted surface, and I get, let's say it's a door casing, and I get a positive for lead. If that door casing is 100% intact shape, and there's no, even a tiny disturbance, it's not considered a hazard. However, if there's any chipping or peeling or flaking, or we're looking at the door jamb, which is the contact surface, then that friction surface, it's kind of a wild card. Because again, you've got friction that creates dust. But when there is, let's say, a wall and it's all intact, it's not considered a hazard. Lead gets into our bodies by breathing it in or by eating it. And when lead paint gets deteriorated or you have that dust caused by friction, it becomes airborne. And that's when it is poison.
So if you find a lot of those positive indicators,
yes,
what happens next? What are the next steps?
So we go throughout the home. We take sampling, depending on how comprehensive our samples are. It depends on what kind of investigation we're doing. We get those results immediately. We know what it is. We know it's lead. So I will come back to the office, and I will create a notice and demand violation letter that goes to landlords. Landlords have 5 days to contact me, and then we go through a process where they can't do any remediation work until either they get certified in lead safe work practices, and we offer free classes regularly, as do many of our sister counties that have the same funding from New York State Department of Health to run these programs. So someone has to be led safe. Then we meet the landlord out at the property or the property owner. Out at the property, we go through what we found with them so it's really clear. Then they need to submit something in writing to us so that we know we're all on the same page and things are going to be addressed, you know, comprehensively. And then we, when they contact us, either themselves or the contractor who did the work, we go back out there, we do a reinspection. And so that is a visual inspection, but we also take dust clearance wipes. Those wipes go out to an independent lab to analyze, and they need to be below the EPA standards. We'll take a dust wipe, depending on the work done, we'll take a dust wipe on floors and windowsills throughout the unit, depending again on what was done. And that's at the risk assessor's discretion.
And Donna, there is a new law in New York called the New York State Lead Rental Registry Law. Can you just give our listeners some highlights of that and what the health department is doing, what our role is?
So it's a New York State Rental Registry, as you mentioned, and the goal is to prevent childhood lead exposure by ensuring lead-safe units throughout communities of concern in New York State. We are a community of concern. This is piloting in Kingston. So we're going with Kingston. And then a rental registry is going to be created that requires lead safe certificates. And we also want to decrease the number of homes that require environmental intervention for kids with elevated blood lead levels. We don't want the kids to be the canaries in the coal mine, as it were. All property owners of homes built prior to 1980 with two or more living units are required to participate in this. And all the local health departments that are part of this program, we are responsible for the management and the oversight of the registry. Owners have to register the property, have a lead inspection, and complete the remediation or abatement.
And as I understand it, the department is also applying for housing and urban development grant, possibly if it's awarded, to help pay for some of the costs of remediation. So, all really terrific work. I can't say enough about how wonderful it is to have someone like you and your colleagues doing this work, and you, Dr. Kura, as Chief Medical Officer at Health Alliance, who's very much on top of this issue. We really appreciate the work that you and your colleagues do on behalf of our community. It's really wonderful. And so how do folks get in touch with either of you?
Vince, for me, it's pretty straightforward. Our hospital is open 24/7. So, we always have someone here. If a child needs our help, they can come here and get the treatment. We have the ability to treat that and to first make the diagnosis with our testing.
Thank you. And you, Donna?
They can call 845-334-LEAD. And I want to just quickly say that RUPCO does have some programs in place to help landlords and private homeowners for remediation. So you can call them or go to their website.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. This is really a really informative discussion. We really appreciate having both of you as guests. So have a very nice afternoon and day, and we'll see you soon. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.